So brings us through.
As a material kind of. Your loss, quote unquote, except for the loss, and that's very good.
All right, so one second, morning. Let's begin. So we left off last two lines, Bezum and Bezum. A lot to do today. Says the Gemara, Rav Yosef Amar, so we're still trying to figure out specifically the position of Beis Hillel. The position of Beis Hillel in the Mishnah. So Beis Hillel said that a Beis Hashanel Gobi Yom Tov is Aser. So we're still trying to figure out why. So we had a number of Shitos yesterday. Yesterday we saw the position of Rabbah, we saw the position of Rav Nachman. Today we're going to go through a couple of more Shitos. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef says, Gezira mishum peros hanoshrin. So Yosef says that the issue is because of fruit that fall off the tree. Now, what does this mean? So Rashi points out over here that lemaisa again on Shabbos, one is not permitted to go ahead, or on Yom Tov for that matter, one is not permitted to go ahead and eat fruit that fell off a tree on Shabbos and Yom Tov, out of the concern that what? That one may come to pluck the fruit from the trees themselves, which is asr also not just on Shabbos, but it's also on Yom Tov. It's the Malach of Kotzer. The Malach of Kotzer is asr on Yom Tov also. We're not going to get into it now, but Lamais, I'll just tell you quickly, the only Malachos that are permitted for Ochal Nefesh on Yom Tov are Malachos that are not done on a large scale. Large scale Malachos are asr on Yom Tov. So for example, Ketzira, harvesting, reaping, which is a Malacha that's done on a large scale, cannot be done on Yom Tov. So Rav Yosef wants to suggest that Beis Hillel's logic is that you can't eat the egg on Yom Tov because the mice is like peros on ocean. It's like fruit that fell from the tree. If you look at the last two lines in Rashi on the Daf, Rashi says, the kasaka daitcha hashta gzira mishum peros on ocean. So Nachum wants to suggest that Beis Hillel holds that an egg, that when the egg comes out of the chicken, it's like a fruit that fell from the tree and therefore should be usher. So the retap of Gimel Amud Aleph, because the mice again, you can't eat the fruit that fell from the tree, because there's a gzeira that you may go up and pluck the fruit from the tree, which of course would be an Issa D'Oraisa. Therefore, Beis Hillel says that the laying of the egg is similar to the fruit falling from the tree. And therefore, Beis Hillel paskins that you may not go ahead and eat it on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? He gufa gzera, the anon nekom benigzer gzera legzera. So the Gemara is bothered by this approach for the following reason. Peros hanoshen rabosai, the idea of not eating fruit that fell from the tree is gzera. It's rabbinic. Meaning midah oraisa. There's no problem eating fruit that fell from the tree. It's the rabbis who legislated it. So now, you're going to tell me that we're going to put another gezerah on top of that gezerah. So there's a gezerah, you can't eat the fruits from the tree. And now what? And now, you can't eat the chicken that lays the egg. I'm sorry, you can't eat the egg that comes from the chicken on Yom Tov. Why? Because again, it resembles peros hanoshrin. So that's a gezerah on top of a gezerah, which we don't normally do. To which the Gemara answers, no. In fact, it's all one gezera. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. This is very interesting. Rashi says, "Chad gezerahi lo shetehezu gezera delo lesi lidei peros hanoshrin." We're not saying over here that you can't eat the egg because you may come to go ahead and eat fruit that fell from the tree. That would be gezera legzera. Rather, what are we saying? Elikishen nindu v'gazra al peros hanoshrin af beitza haisav mashmur. Rather, what we're suggesting is when the rabbis went ahead and made the gezera of not eating fruit that fell from the tree, they at that same time legislated about not eating an egg that comes from the chicken on Yom Tov. Af beitzai seva mashma, the af agav the less about mishum tlisha, and even though again the egg doesn't really have the same idea of the plucking like the fruit does, mihum michlag gzeros chachamim haisa sha'afi priyanosher. So we'll say what Rav Nachman is suggesting is that again, we're not concerned that if you come to eat the egg, you may come to eat the fruit that fell from the tree, because that would be a gzera l'gzera. That would be piling rabbinic gzeras one on the other. And that we don't do. Rather, what Rav Nachman is suggesting is that included in the original gzera of Peros HaNoshrin was Beitz HaShanel D'Liyantar. That the rabbis legislated about that case because, again, from the beginning they said this resembles a case of a Priya Nosher, a fruit that falls, and therefore it's Asra Yantar.
Prohibited act that the gzera is keeping you from doing no. If you were to eat the egg.
No.
It looks like it.
It looks like it. It resembles it. Rabbi Yitzchok says, Gzeira mishum mashkin shezavu. It was that Rabbi Yitzchak goes on a different approach and he says, you can't eat the egg on Yom Tov. Why? Out of a concern because of the case of mashkin shezavu. It was that, what's the case of mashkin shezavu? So this is if you look at Rashi, mishum mashkin shezavu, the kaimalan asurin lebo bayom, ki disnalim yatsum yatsman asurin, u beitzanami damyo lehu shezava biyotas mimokom shay sabluah. So it was a halacha like this. If you have fruit, and juice seeps out of the fruit, you are not permitted to drink that juice on Shabbos. On Shabbos. What's the reason? Out of the concern that if we let you drink the juice, you may come to go ahead and squeeze the fruit. Squeezing the fruit, obviously, is usur on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, excuse me. It's the malacha of dash, the malacha of threshing. Now, I will say, we'll see, this is a much more intricate halacha, because the truth is, it depends on the type of fruit. Grapes and olives are treated one way. Other fruits are treated different ways. Fruits whose that are normally used for their juice are treated one. So again, we're not going to get into all the halachas right now. But the point that Rabbi Yitzchak makes is that lemaisi, you can't eat the egg on Yom Tov, because the egg on Yom Tov resembles the case of mashkin shezavu, of juice that seeps out of the fruit. Just like you can't eat, drink the juice out of the, it comes out of the fruit because it may come to squeeze the fruit. So too, again, the egg coming out of the chicken resembles the juice that seeped out of the fruit. So the Gemara says, one second, I'm really Abaye. Abaye says, mashkin shezavu taimamai, why can't you drink the juice that came out of the fruit? Gezeira shema yischot. There is a concern that what? That you may come to go ahead and squeeze the fruit for the actual juice. And that could be a malacha. So the Gemara says, one second. He gufa gzeira, va'ano nekom v'nigzer gzeira l'gzeira. So we'll say, same question. So now the whole idea, remember, I have a bowl of apples or a bowl of oranges. There's now some orange juice pooled at the bottom. So the rabbis say, I can't drink it. Namidaraisa, I can drink it, no problem. The rabbi said, I can't because we're afraid it may come to lead me to squeeze the fruit itself. So now you're going to tell me what? That lemaisa, again, I can't eat the egg. I can't eat the egg. I can't eat the chicken. Because I may come to go ahead and drink the fruit, the juice that came from the oranges, and make it's like a chagadja, and I may come to go ahead and squeeze the oranges. That's again, you're piling rabbinic gezeiros one on top of the other. To which the Gemara says, again, no, kula chad gezeri. In reality, again, it's actually one gezeira. Same answer as before. That according to what Abaye is actually saying, what Rabbi Yitzchok is actually saying, is that lemaisa, when the rabbis legislated on mashkin shezavu, they included in this gezeira Beitza Shanol Dabiyamtiv, because it resembles a case of something flowing out of another entity. Okay, so we'll say now we have four different understandings of Beis Hillel's position. We have Rav Nachman, who teaches us that Beis Hillel restricts the use of the egg on Yom Tov because he takes a strict view of Muktzah on Yom Tov. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Muktzah on Yom Tov, and because, again, therefore the egg is Muktzah. We have Rava, who says that Vesel says you can't eat the egg. Why? Because it wasn't prepared. Because we know that the egg is actually fully formed the day before. And according to Rava, this is a case of Yom Tov that falls out right after Shabbos. Therefore, it wasn't prepared. We have, or I should say, it was prepared for Shabbos and Yom Tov, and that's Aser. We have Rav Yosef, who says Peros and Oshrin. And Rav Yitzchak, who says Mashkin Shazavu. So I'm going to say the following. Kulhu Krav Nachman lo Amrin. So the other three opinions, the whole like Krav Nachman, why not? Kikushan, because of the questions we raised. Rabbi, remember again, the question we raised on Rav Nachman was that if Rav Nachman is really right and the issue is one of Muktzah, so then Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai should really not just disagree in the case of the egg, but they should also what? They should also disagree in the case of the chicken. So because of that kasha on Rav Nachman, therefore again, the other three opinions will not hold like him. El Rav Yosef, Kirabba Namilo Amri, Hachana Leslu. They won't hold like Rabba. Why? Because you must remember Rabba's whole position is predicated on this idea of Hachana, on this idea that in order to eat something on Yom Tov, it must be designated already from Yom Chol. So not everybody agrees with that idea. El Rav Yosef, my time alama Rabbi Yitzchak. But why does Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef is the one who says that you can't eat the egg on Yom Tov mishum peros hanoshrin, out of a concern that is part of the gzera of fruit that fell from the tree. So why does Rav Yosef not hold like Rav Yitzchak? Rav Yitzchak calls mashkin shezavu. So why does Rav Yosef not hold like Rav Yitzchak? Amar lecha, Rav Yosef will tell you beitza ochla, because again the egg is food, uperos ochla, and the fruit is food. La'afuki mashkin delav uchla. So we'll say what Rav Yosef answers is, Rav Yosef says, because I think that the case of the egg coming from the chicken is more comparable to the fruit coming from the tree. Because just like the fruit coming from the tree, the item lying on the ground that now you can't eat is a food item, and the egg is a food item, therefore it's more comparable, as opposed to the case of mashkin shezavu, where the stuff that came out of the fruit is what? Is a liquid and not a food. So again, he seems to be advancing a very simple argument that it just, in the case of the egg, just seems is more comparable to the fruit that fell from the tree, because just like the fruit is a food, so to the egg is a food. Rabbi Yitzchak, my time alamak, Rabbi Yosef. And Rabbi Yitzchak, why do you not hold like Rabbi Yosef? So again, we're reversing it. Rabbi Yitzchak is mashkin shezavu. Why does he not hold the Rabbi Yitzchak of Peros HaNoshrin? Amar lecha, he will say, Beitza Balua, Umashkin Baluan. Because I think the case of the egg resembles better the case of the juice that comes from the fruit. Because just as the juice was absorbed in the fruit, and now it came out, so too the egg was absorbed in the chicken, and now it came out. La'afuke peros demiglu v'kaimu. It's unlike the case of the peros, where what Rabbi Osai, the pre was visible on the tree the entire time. So Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yosef both seem to be, it's interesting, it doesn't seem to be like a very deep idea over here. They're just simply trying to find the case which the Beitza Shenolda B'Yomtov most resembles. And I will say, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rabbi Yitzchak that Beis Hillel's issue, remember I will say, we're only focusing now on Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai doesn't bother us. Why doesn't Beis Shammai bother us? Because in general, the permissive opinion doesn't bother us. It's the prohibitive opinion, not that bothers us, but that we want to understand why you're saying it's usher. So that's why we're only focusing on Beis Hillel right now. So it comes on Rabbi Yochanan says, I happen to agree with Rabbi Yitzchak that the issue of a Beis HaShanel Dov Yom Tov is because it's included in the Gzera of Mashkin Shezavu. It's included in this Gzera of juice that flows out from a fruit, that you can't drink the juice because you may come to squeeze the fruit. So that Gzera also tells you that the chicken that lays the egg is Asra on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, after the Yochanan Sovereign, Gzer Mishomashkin Shazamu, Rabbi Yochanan Rami, Rabbi Huda, Umashani, because Rabbi Yochanan contrasts two positions of Rabbi Huda, and he answers them. Well, what's the contrast? Listen to this. Tanan, it's very interesting. In Sochtinas Aperos Lahotzi Mehen Mashkin. This is talking about Shabbos, Rabbi Yochanan. And Shabbos, you may not squeeze fruit in order to extract liquids from them on Yom Tov, on Shabbos. V'im yatzu mi'atzman. However, again, what happens if the juices came out on their own? Asurin. The juices are still asur, because at the end of the day, again, the concern is if we allow you to go ahead and drink them, you may come to proactively squeeze the fruit. Rabbi Huda says one sec. So Rabbi Huda qualifies this. He says, im la'ochlin, if the fruits themselves were set aside for consumption, meaning let's say these were fruits that I did not plan on juicing. These are fruits that I was going to eat. In that case, hayotze mehen motor. Then the liquid that comes out from them is going to be absolutely motor. Absolutely motor. Ve'im l'mashkin, however, again, if the fruits were set aside for juicing purposes, then hayotze mehen asr. Then, in fact, the liquids that come out are asr. Look at Rashi Rabosai. Im lo'ochlin, Rashi says, hein mechunasan aperos halalu, hayotze mehen motor bo bayom, d'cheiva d'lonecha lehu bahani mashkin, leka l'migzer shami yitzchot. So Rabbi Huda's model is like this. If the fruit are set aside for consumption, you're going to eat them. So therefore, really, I actually don't want the juices to come out, because if the juices come out, what does that mean? Right. It means the fruit itself is actually compromised. So because I don't want the juices to come out, there's no concern that if I drink the juice, I may squeeze the fruits for more. On the other hand, that's in la'ochlin. On the other hand, if l'mashkin, Rabbi Huda says, if it was set aside for juicing purposes, and I do want the liquid, then enoch inami, if I begin to drink the liquid that pooled in the bottom of the bowl, I may actually come to go ahead and squeeze the fruit for more juice. Now, what do you see from here? Alma, kol ochlin, Rabbi Yehuda, uchla de'ifrasu. So we'll say, what do we see from this? We see from this that lamaisa, in the case of the fruit that are set aside for consumption, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? I am permitted to go ahead and drink those juices. Why? And Rabbi Yehuda said, because we're not concerned you're going to come to juice the fruit. But Rabbi Yehuda say, what's the chap? What do we see from that? We see from Rabbi Yehuda's position that an item that comes from a food item has the status of food itself. And the way the Gemara is understanding the sheet of Rabbi Huda is that Lamaisa, when the juice flows from the fruit that was set aside for consumption, we don't view that liquid as liquid pulled on the bottom of the bowl. Rather, how do we view it? We view it as food. So therefore, something that comes from food, according to Rabbi Huda, is called food. Look at Rashi. Alma, midika amar im la'ochlin hayotzi mehen mutar, from the fact that it says that if the fruit was set aside for food, for consumption purposes, anything that comes from it is mutter. L'kol mutter, kol la'ochlin amar, b'davar yotzi mehen, uchlu v'ifrasu, ve'ina b'chlag gzeres mashkin shazavu. So the way the Gemara is understanding Rabbi Huda's position is because if a fruit is set aside to eat, that means again it has a status of food. Anything that comes from that fruit also has a status of food. Even the liquid that comes from it doesn't have the status of liquid, it has the status of food. That's why you can drink it, because there's no concern you will come to juice the fruit for additional liquid. Or minhu. So on one hand, what we emerge with over here from Rabbi Huda Shita is that anything that comes from a food item has the status of food itself. Okay, next. Or minhu. Now remember again, Rabbi Yochanan contrasted another teaching. Or minhu. V'od amar Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda furthermore said, Masna adam al kalkala shal peros. V'yom tov rishon. V'ochla b'sheni. I will say, this is an interesting case, we'll come to it later in the Gemara. Let's say a person did not go ahead and tithe their produce prior to Yom Tov. This is a case of where a person is living outside of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, again, there are 2 days of Yom Tov. So the issue is, I cannot eat untithed produce. But the difficulty is, you can't tithe produce on Yom Tov. Can't tithe on Yom Tov and Shabbos Yom Tov. So what do I do? So Rabbi Huda says, you could do conditional tithing from one day to the next. What does this mean? Look at Rashi, which is the vulnerable site. Masna adam ala kalkala, laha milsa havishte kedushos, haislo kalkala shal peros, tevel. I had a basket of fruit that was tevel untied. V'shachach below Yisra me'erev yom tov. And I did not tie that on erev yom tov. Utinan, ein magbi and shumos and maestros be yom tov. You can't go ahead and take shumos and maestros on yom tov. Ma'aser b'yom tov b'tnai. I do a conditional tithing. What's the conditional tithing? Listen to this. V'omer, imayom chod nabosa, remember, we're dealing with 2 days Yom Tov, and we'll get to this in Beitza. This is, we see this in this Masechta. One of those days is what we call Svika de Yoma, right? We don't know which is the real day of Yom Tov. So what do? I make a Tanai, and I say the following: Im Hayom Chol Ulamachar Kodesh. If today is a weekday and tomorrow is the real day of Yom Tov, Yehi Elo Truma V'Maestros Al Elo. Im Hayom Kodesh In B'Dvarei Klum. And if today is Yom Tov, then my words are meaningless. The no sin behind simon. I demarcate the fruits in some way. Ulamachar ulamacharas choser vaomer ima yom chol veesma kodesh you ilo truma alashar v'mayom kodesh veesma chol hari nas the truma esma marashach nispes. Let's listen to this. So on the first day of Yom Tov, what do I say? If today is chol, if today is the real weekday, and tomorrow is the real day of Yom Tov, so what? The five fruit on the left are truma. The six fruit on the left are ma'aser. Okay, and I know I try, in my mind I know where each fruit is. On the next day of Yom Tov, I come back and I say the following. And I'm sorry. And on the first day, and if today is Kodesh, my words are meaningless. I come back on the second day and I make the same exact statement. If today is Chol, then the sixth fruit on the right should be Truma, and the sixth one on the left should be Meiser. And if today is Kodesh, then my words are meaningless. And yesterday's Tanai worked, and that would allow you. And now again, now it only works when it only works as of the second day. It only works after you did this on the second day. But Lamais, again, that's how you technically would tithe untithed produce on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says the following. V'chein, now we don't really care about that case. What we care about right now is V'chein beitza shenol d'berishon tocha b'sheni. And so too, if a chicken laid an egg on the first day of Yom Tov, you could eat the egg on the second day of Yom Tov. So what do we see from that? B'sheni in berishon olo. What do we see from that? I will say, when can you eat the egg? You can eat the egg only on the second day of Yom Tov. You may not eat the egg on the first day of Yom Tov. So I will say, now that's a problem for us. Why? Because according to what we just said before, is that what? Anything that comes from food is food. Okay, that was Rabbi Huda's logic in the case of the juice that came out of the fruit that was set aside for consumption. So using that logic that anything that comes from food is food, then Lemaisa, when the chicken lays the egg on Yom Tov, what should be the halacha? The egg should be immediately permitted. Because just like the chicken is food, again, technically speaking, I could slaughter the chicken on Yom Tov, just like the chicken is food, the egg should be food as well, and then Lemaisa should be permitted for consumption immediately on the first day of Yom Tov. Why do I have to wait till the second day? To which the Gemara says, Umeshani Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan in fact says, Mukhlefes Hashita. The way Rabbi Yochanan resolves this contradiction in Rabbi Huda is by switching the opinion. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Umeshani Rabbi Yochanan, the Mukhlefes Hashita. Shitas Hamishna, the Insochtin, the Efucht Rabbi Huda Rabbanon. In reality, you have to switch the positions in Shabbos. It's talking about by the Mishnah, by Schita. And in fact, again, Rabbosai, The opinion that we attributed to Rabbi Huda is really not Rabbi Huda, rather it's the Rabbanon. And Rabbi Huda holds that you may not squeeze fruit for their juices on Yom Tov. And Einach Inami, if juice comes out of the pre, Rabbi Huda holds across the board that what? That it's usher. He does not make this qualification of fruits that are used for juice versus fruits that are used for consumption. Rather, that's the position of the Rabbanon. In which case, can Rabbi Huda does not hold that just simply because something comes from food, it's food. And if Rabbi Huda, by Beitza, will hold that the egg is prohibited on the first day, but be permitted on the second day. So we switch the shitos. So the Gemara says, Umid kamarami leilahu adandi shmamina chataimuhu. The Rabbi says, remember, the whole reason we brought this up is because we made a statement that Rabbi Yitzchak holds, that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the whole issue of Beit Hashanot B'Yom Tov is Mashkin Shazavu. So both say the Gemara says, therefore, you see from here that the fact that Rabbi Yochanan brings these two cases together, the fact that he contrasts these two cases, the case of juices that flow from the pre on Shabbos with the case of Beit Hashanot B'Yom Tov, indicates to us what? That in Rabbi Yochanan's worldview, it's one theme. It's one halachic theme. And therefore, the issue with Beit Hashanot B'Yom Tov is an issue of Mashkin Shazavu. Shmamina Chataimu. Ravina Amar. Ravina says, Li Olam Lo Seifo. So I'm going to say, Ravina is going back on Rabbi Huda. And he says, no, you do not have to switch the Shitos. You do not have to switch Shitos Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda L'Divreim D'Rabbana Kamarahu. Rabbi Huda is really speaking to the Rabbanon. What does that mean? Lididi afilu barishon amishai. So we'll say, remember, the reason Rabbi Yochanan felt compelled to switch the shitos is because Rabbi Huda seems to be contradicting himself. Because by Peros he says that food is food. But yet by Beitza, he's paskening again that it's usher on the first day, only permitted on the second day, which seems to say that something that comes from food is not automatically accorded the status of food. So Ravina says, no, don't get excited. Rabbi Huda is actually talking to the Rabbanon. What does that mean? Lididi, Rabbi Huda says like this, Lididi, according to me, afilu barishon amisharya. In my opinion, the egg, when the chicken lays the egg really should be permitted even immediately on day one, even on the first day of Yom Tov. Why? Because according to me, I hold that the egg is food that came from food. And therefore, the mice, it's immediately permitted. However, but according to you, Rabbanon, at least admit to me that the egg should be permitted on the second day. So Rabbanon, you say the egg is asr. Okay, when you say asr, maybe first day, but at least admit to me that the egg should be permitted by the second day. Why? The shtei kedushos. Because again, Rabbo said, because the 2 days of Yom Tov are two different kiddushos. Now, we're going to spend a significant amount of time speaking about what that concept means. But at least on the basic level, for us now, what it means is it's really two independent days. If it's two independent days, then Lamais, again, even if you want to say it's us on the day that it was laid, it should be permitted the second day. And the Rabbanon say, no, lo kiddusha achasi. The Rabbanon will say, no, that Lamais, again, the 2 days of Yom Tov are one kiddusha. The Rabbo say, what is the impact of saying the two days of Yom Tov are one Kiddusha? It's effectively saying it's one long day. By saying that it's one long day, if you say that the egg is Asr on day one, in essence, what? It's Asr on day two as well. Look at Rashi. Kiddusha Achasi, Velo Damu L'Shar Yomim Tovim, Da Hanach Lav Mishum Sveka Iskun, Da Af Bizman Bezdin Hayos. And Rabbo say, now again. So now if we go back for just a moment, there's one important qualification over here. This Mishnah, and this only comes out at the end of this statement, this comes out over here that we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. Now I will say, we are going to see that Rosh Hashanah is the interesting Yom Tov, because Rosh Hashanah is 2 days even in Eretz Yisrael. Now, so Rosh Hashanah is not the classic two-day Yom Tov model. What the Rabbanon are saying over here is the following. Under normal circumstances, when we have Yom Tov Sheni, we're going to see this in this Gemara, not today's Gemara, but in Maseches Beitza, the concept of Yom Tov Sheni was instituted because of doubt. So because of that, one could posit that the 2 days are reckoned independently. The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were not instituted out of doubt. We'll discuss why there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were instituted because sometimes the witnesses would not come until later in the day. And if you declare that day Rosh Hashanah, it upsets the apple cart in many different ways. So there was never a doubt, just sometimes there was a technical issue of when the witnesses would show up regarding, again, testimony about the new moon. So the Rabbanan say to Rabbi Yehuda, even if we would agree with you by other Yomim Tovim, here we're discussing Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is Kiddusha Achas, one long period of Kiddusha, and therefore Lemaisa, so we hold that the egg that is laid on day one will still be Asr on day two. Okay. Ravina Breid Ravula Amar, Hacha B'Tarnagolas Ha'omedes Agad L'Beitzim. So we'll say another qualification. Ravina, the son of Ravula, says that what are we dealing over here with? We're dealing over here with a chicken that is used for its eggs, not for consumption. Ah, if that's the case, Rabbi Huda l'tamei de'is le'muktzah. And Rabbi Huda goes according to his reasoning, because he holds, again, of muktzah. Look at Rashi. Ravina breit rav ula amar, Rabbi Huda ad Rabbi Huda me'ikar lo tikshi, da'ad de'kamar b'sheni in b'rishon lo, ba'omedes le'beitzim kamar, o'mishum muktzah ve'lo mishum mashkin shesav. So Rabbi Huda, Ravina has another resolution. He says Rabbi Huda is not contradicting himself, because the whole idea over here has nothing to do with the egg. Has nothing to do with Mashkin Shezavu, but rather Rabbi Huda's issue with the egg is one of Muktza. And therefore, again, Rabbi Huda holds that Lamaisa, the egg on day one is Muktza, but by the time we get to day two, the Muktza status has been lifted. Okay, so two different ways of resolving the Rabbi Huda issue. But the point that we take away from this is what? Is that Rabbi Yitzchak has an ally. That Rabbi Yitzchak is not the only one who holds that the issue with the egg that is laid on Yom Tov is Mashkin Shezavu, but even Rabbi Yochanan agrees with this position as well. Fine. Weiter. Meisei, the Gemara raises a kasha. Echad beitza shenolda b'shabbis, the echad beitza shenolda b'yontov. Also, what's very exciting about this Gemara, I'm sure you're feeling this, right? What's very exciting about this is because the egg case is really just like a springboard to bring in like a whole bunch of other halachic concepts. That's what's invigorating about sugyas like this, is just understand all the different ideas that are coming from all different. So you have one little case of an egg, but look what you've just seen. From one little case of an egg, we have already spoken about five different halachic concepts and how they apply to the eggs. So really, it's not as much. The egg is the lightning rod for all of this, but all of these other ideas are coming to a head because of the egg. So, basically, if you have an egg that was laid on Shabbos or an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, in metaltlin also, you may not carry it. You can't move it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Lo lechasos basakli. You can't use it to cover it. And suppose apparently what people sometimes, I guess, used to use eggs for is that they would use almost like a bottle stopper. I guess because if it's narrow, it's narrow top, I guess you could put it into a bottle. It's like a cork, a bottle stopper. So you can't go ahead and use it to literally as a bottle stopper. Below lismoch ba kari amita. This is very interesting. Nor can you use it to go ahead and hold up a bed. So we'll say, wait, now remember, so every kid does this experiment, right? Remember again, if you stand up the egg lengthwise and you apply pressure on the top and the bottom, you can't crack the egg. You can't crack the egg like that, right? You can only crack the egg from the side. So what he's saying is you can't go ahead and support the egg. You can't use the egg to prop something up. What can you do? You can place a kli on top of the egg so that the egg doesn't get trampled or the egg doesn't get smashed. Rabosa, you ask yourself, what's the chiddush in that? If remember again, Rabosa, going back to our Shabbos days, we had the position of Rabbi Yitzchak. And Rabbi Yitzchak held that on Shabbos, you cannot transport a kli for the purpose of something that itself could not be moved. So meaning, Rabbi Yitzchak held, you can't transport a kli for something that is muktzah and unusable. Sechnasha, we don't hold like that. We know that you could transport a kli for whatever reason you want, as long as the kli itself is not muktzah. So even though that I'm using the kli to cover a muktzah item, that is permitted. Usveka asura. And if you have a suffik about the egg, the suffik is asura. Now we don't know what kind of suffik exactly we're talking about. Then this arva be'elef is an interesting case. And if that egg gets mixed in with 1,000 other eggs, let's say permitted eggs, kulan asuros, all of the eggs are asur. So we'll say now, again, this is going to be very exciting also because now, get ready, we're going to be a whole door to a whole bunch of additional halachic concepts that's going to be open. Bishlam, so we'll say now, here's what we have. We have a braisa. The braisa tells us, A, that if the egg is laid on Yom Tov, you can't move it. It's muktzah. Okay, that's fact number one. Fact number two, and you can't move it for any reason. Fact number two, which is not really going to be so relevant right now, but you can cover it with a utensil. Fine. Fact number two, that's the major fact number two that's relevant for us is Suffolk. Suffolk, we don't know what the Suffolk is, but Suffolk is usur. And number three, if that egg gets mixed in with 1,000 other permitted eggs, well, you can't identify the egg that was laid on Yom Tov, all of the eggs are usur. So let's analyze this. Bishlam al Rabba. Now the Gemara is going to go back. Now we remember we have four different shitos as to how to understand the prohibition of the egg on Yom Tov according to Beis Hillel. Now the Gemara is going to figure out whose opinion does this price reflect. So Bishlam al Rabba. Now this works well according to Rabba. Remember what was Rabba's position? Rabba's position was Beis Hillel to be Yom Tov is Aser. Why? Because of Hachana. Because it's not properly prepared. Again, remember Rabba's position only works in a case of Shabbos, of Yom Tov that falls out immediately after Shabbos. So Bishlam the Rabbah Dar Mishmachana. So according to Rabbah, who holds that the whole issue with an egg that is laid on Yom Tov is an issue of Achana. That if Yom Tov falls out directly after Shabbos, then what? The egg was already prepared. We assume that when was an egg fully formed? The day before. Therefore, it turns out that an egg that is laid on Yom Tov was in fact really prepared, quote unquote, on Shabbos. And therefore, again, it's us. Because according to Rabbah, Yom Tov needs must be prepared on a weekday. What about a Stam weekday? What about Stam Yom Tov that doesn't fall on the heels of Shabbos? So we saw already, Rabbah holds that egg will still be Aser. Why? Gezeira mishum Yom Tov shechal achra Shabbos. Fine. So according to Rabbah, this makes sense. Why? So bishlar da mishum hachana havi svika doreisa. According to Rabbah, the issue of Beis Hashanah to Yom Tov is the potential Isur Doraisa. Because Rabbah holds, according to Rabbah, this concept of Hachana, this concept of preparing foods on a weekday for Yom Tov use is a biblical concept. So I understand that, if we're dealing with the case of a Safek, I will say, what's the Safek? The Safek is, was the egg laid on Yom Tov or was the egg laid on a weekday? If you have a Safek about the egg, that is a Safek Doraisa. Safek Doraisa, and how do we resolve Safek Doraisa? L'chumra. So l'chumra, you'll have to say you can't eat the egg. Ella, the Rav Yosef, the Rav Yitzchak, the Army Shum Gezeira, Sveik the Rabbanani. Rav Yosef, according to Rav Yosef, remember, Rav Yosef holds what? Rav Yosef was of the position of Peros Hanoshrin, right? He holds you can't eat the egg on Yom Tov. Why? Because it resembles the case of a fruit that fell from the tree. Rav Yitzchak was Mashkin Shazabu, because the egg resembles a case of juice that flowed from the fruit. These are rabbinic issues. And therefore, again, if you're not sure if the egg was laid on the first day on Yom Tov or not on Yom Tov, you have a Safek Derabanan. V'chol Sveka Derabanan L'kula. And remember, again, every Safek Derabanan, Rabbi Osei, is resolved leniently in this situation. I mean, what? You're going to eat the egg? So the Gemara says, no. Seifa Asan L'Safek Treifa. No. What's the case? The case of Safek in the Brice that we quoted before was the Safek was whether or not the chicken was laid on Yom Tov or not. The suffix was that the egg come from an animal that's a trefa. Meaning, Abba say, here's what we know. Rashi says over here that we have an old dummy tarnagolis trefa. You have two chickens. One chicken is a trefa. One chicken is not a trefa. Abba say, a trefa is an animal that has a condition from which it would die within a year. That's what's called a trefa. So, halacha l'maaseh, you have an egg. One chicken. Chicken A is a trefa. Chicken B is not. I don't know which chicken laid the egg. But we'll say anything that comes from a trefa has the status of a trefa. So an egg that would come from a trefa would be usur. So the case over here is a safek asan, the safek asan, the safek trefa, ihachi, ema sefa. So okay, so now you want to tell me that therefore again, we'll say safek trefa will be a safek doraisa l'chumra. Okay, well, 1 second, hold that thought. Ema sefa, what about the last part of the brisa? What did the last part of the brisa say? Nisarva be'elef, Rabbi will say, right of the brisa, go on. I take this egg. Now you tell me that the egg is a suffix trefa. That egg gets mixed in with what? 1,000 other eggs. What did the brisa say? And I can't identify my usser egg. No. So what's that look? Huh? No. All of them are usser. Now the rest doesn't make sense. E amrit bishlama suffix yom tov suffix chol. Now if you tell me we're dealing with an egg that was laid, I'm not sure if it was laid on Yom Tov, not laid on Yom Tov. Then I understand why such an egg would not be bottled in a mixture. Because after all, have dover sheyesh lo matirin, v'chal dover sheyesh lo matirin afilu be'elef lo batar. I will say this is fascinating. The halacha of bittul normally says that if two like items get mixed in with each other, biblically all you need is a majority. Once you have a majority of a permitted item, so again, the prohibited item is bottle. It's bottle in the mixture. However, if you have something that's called the Davar Sheish Lamatir, Nabosai, when do we employ the concept of bittul? We employ the concept of bittul when the item itself will never become permitted on its own. But if the item itself will become permitted on its own, then I don't have to use the concept of bittul. Rather, what do I do? Wait. So Rabosai, again, if you tell, so again, an egg that is born on Yom Tov, you want to tell me that if it gets mixed in with 1,000 other eggs, it's not bittul. I hear that. Why? Because again, why should I rely on bittul? Just wait until after Yom Tov. What happens after Yom Tov? Everything is permitted. So both again, it's a fascinating idea in bittul. Bittul is a halachic mechanism that resolves doubt when there is no other way to resolve that about the identity of the item. But when time will resolve the doubt, there is no need to rely on the mechanism of bittul. So if you tell me that the price is talking about a suffix of an egg that was born on Yom Tov or not born on Yom Tov, I understand why that egg is not bittul in a mixture of 1,000 other eggs, because there's no need to rely on that mechanism of bittul. Eli'i amrit suffix trefa. But if you tell me that we're dealing with an egg that is a suffix trefa, meaning, did the egg come from a chip or not come from a chip? But then I don't understand. Darvashin lo matirin. That egg will never be permitted. If that egg will never be permitted, Rabosai, then what? Then I should be able to rely on the mechanism of bittul. Viti bottle barupa. Then an egg like that should be bottle. Just the truth is, in a simple majority, 2-1. As long as you have two other kosher eggs in there, you can't identify which one is which. The suffix egg becomes permitted. Vichi teima beitza chashuva velo batla. I assume maybe you'll say, there's another idea. That if something is so chashev, if something is so important, then it's not bottle in a mixture. I said, maybe you'll say that an egg is very chashev, and therefore it's not bottle, therefore it's never bottle. So the Gemara says, well, you can't say that. Why? Well, I should say you can't say it. You can say whatever you want. Hanicha lemanda amar, kol shadarko lino shaninu. El lemanda amar, es shadarko lino shaninu ma'ikonu. So also listen to this. There's a fascinating machlokes. What makes something chashev? So two opinions. One opinion says, kol shadar kolimnos, what I mean, if you look at Rashi, kol shadar kolimnos, the mishnas are lo kidla kamon, de lo batil, mashma kol dover shish b'nei adam makpidin alav, mishum b'nei chashivuso, limochro b'minyin. Beitze nami harbi mochro samir. So listen to this. There are items that are sometimes sold as individual units, and some items that are sometimes, but yet sometimes they're sold by weight. So sometimes they're sold as individuals, and sometimes they're just sold as a collective, as a group. So eggs are an interesting thing, because eggs are sometimes sold as individual eggs, and sometimes they're sold by weight. So the question is, what makes something choshev? Kol shadar kolimnos means, as long as something is sometimes sold as an individual unit, that's choshev. Even if it's not always sold as an individual unit. See, if you tell me that as long as sometimes an item is sold as an individual unit, that makes it choshev. And as long as it's choshev, therefore it's not bottle in a mixture, then an egg would not necessarily be bottle in a mixture. But if you hold, es shadar kolamanos, we'll say es shadar kolamanos means only something that is always sold as an individual unit. Only something that is always sold as an individual unit is chashuv, and therefore not bottle. Ma'ikal nimar, that's not true about eggs. Because also when it comes to eggs, eggs are not always sold as individual units. If that's the case, again, that according to this mandamra, it wouldn't be a chashuv item. If it's not a chashuv item, then it should be bottle in a mixture. After all, this nan, misha hayaluch chavilei tilson, also if somebody had bundles, literally bundles of, tilson is fenugreek. And Rabosai, what happens? This fenugreek was klayakarim. Klayakarim means forbidden mixtures. Forbidden mixtures of vegetables and grapes or vegetables and grains that grow in close proximity to each other. What is the halacha? Yidlaku. So Rabosai, if you have bundles of fenugreek that are klayakarim, these forbidden mixtures, you have to destroy it. You have to burn it. This arvu va'acheros, va'acheros, va'acheros. What happens again if the bundles of fenugreek get mixed in with this bundle of prohibited fenugreek? Gets mixed in with other bundles of permitted fenugreek, and those bundles with these other bundles. So now you have a whole mixture, one of which is aser, the other of which are permitted. Kulan yidlaku direr meir. Meir says the halacha is you have to burn the entire mixture. In other words, klaya kereb is not bottle in a mixture, and therefore you have to go ahead and burn everything. The chacham say no, ya'alu acha ba'achas masayim. It's not true. Klaya kereb is bottle in a mixture of 200-1. So if you have 200 permitted parcels of fenugreek, and one prohibited one, the prohibited one will be batal. Shahai Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says, Es shedarko limanos mekadesh. Because Rabbi Meir says, something that is always sold as an individual unit, is choshev, and therefore not batal, and therefore if it gets mixed in with everything else, it'll convey its status to everything else. So in this case, Rabbi Meir says, apparently bundles of fenugreek are normally sold on their own as individual units, therefore they're choshev. Therefore, when the bundle of fenugreek that's klei karam gets mixed in with the other bundles, it is not batal, and therefore it asters the entire mixture. There are only six things that are so choshev that they are not bottled in a mixture. Rabbi Kiva says it's not six, it's seven. Shiva, ve'elan, these are them. Egoze prach, prach nuts, these are the type of nuts, right? Rimoni ba'adon, rimonim, right? Ba'adon pomegranates, these are names of places. So prach is a place, ba'adon is a place. Chavios stumos, closed barrels of wine, these are choshev items. Chilfei trajan, prickly beets. They call chikruv, stalks of cabbage. Delas yevonis, a Greek gourd. Rabbi Kiva Moser, Rabbi Kiva adds in, Afkikar Shabalabayis. He also holds bread that was made by a householder. So we'll say, these items are choshev, and therefore, again, these items will never be bottled. Haroi l'or l'orlo, haroi l'klayakarim, klayakarim. And I will say, in this case, if any of these items were to be arla and got mixed in, so therefore, again, I will say, what the Gemara is saying over here is the following. If you have a choshev item that's not batal, unless it has an arla status, it conveys its arla status to everything else in the mixture. If it's klaya kerem, it conveys its klaya kerem status to everything in the mixture. The itmar alo, and we said about this, Rabbi Yochanan says, Es shedarko limno shaninu, Rabbi Shimon Laki Shamar, Kol shedarko limano shaninu. And I will say, we said about this, that Rabbi Yochanan said that Lamaisa, Esh, remember we'll say, Esh Shadarka Lumanos Shaninu. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Esh Shadarka Lumanos, but most of Rabbi Meir. And I will say, now, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon are now going to be arguing in the position of Rabbi Meir. Here's what Rabbi Meir said. Rabbi Meir said that Lamaisa, Esh Shadarka Lumanos Mekalish. Rabbi Meir said that something that is Choshev. And what's the definition of Choshev? The definition of Chashivos is something that is sold as individuals. If it's sold as an individual, therefore again it's chashev. If it's chashev, then what? It's not batal. Now I will say we'll stop over here, but we'll pick up tomorrow with Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish having a machlokes about the position of Rabbi Meir. That what according to Rabbi Meir, what defines chashev? So Rabbi Yochanan, let's just end off on this note, just to understand what it is that we're trying to figure out over here. The Gemara just quoted a brisa, and we're just trying to figure out which opinion does the brisa work for? Which brisa? And specifically, what we're trying to figure out is what is the case of the suffix beitza that is not batal? What is the case? Because again, if you want to say that it's an issue lemaisa of beitza shel debyantov of mukta, I understand why it's not batal, because lemaisa again is davreshiyeh shel matirin. But again, even that, I have to understand that mechanics only works depending on what? Depending on how you understand the mechanics of bittul itself. So we're going to leave off with tomorrow is, right, we're leaving off today, was the sheet of Rabbi Meir, who holds that something that is choshuv is not batal in a mixture. And we'll pick up tomorrow the Macholik Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish as to what actually defines chashivos.